I used to be a carpenter. And as a carpenter, we dealt with a few rules and regulations in order to be an effective carpenter. Our main piece of material is a piece of wood. In case you don't know, it grows from a tree. It's a natural thing that comes in nature. And as the tree grows, it produces a thing called grain. And you can look at the grain of a tree and you can see a lot of important things. First of all, the number of layers will determine the age and actually the strength of the tree, how well it grew during each year. When men would take a piece of wood, they would cut it according to the grain. The grain is that substance or material in the wood that flows up with the wood. And all the grain of the wood flows the same direction. It flows and it flows up toward its maker. Even a bush tree, if there are other branches in the way, each new branch will go out and around, and then eventually it will lift its eyes and go up as well. When they cut a piece of wood at the sawmill, they'll cut it in certain sizes and lengths to be used by the carpenter for building things like this beautiful building here. And one of the things that we always say in the business is you cut it according to the grain. As the grain flows is where you get your cut. And when lumber has been laid out for a while, sometimes it will move or it will change directions, twist as you would. But when you grab a board, you pick up that board and you look down the grain and you see where it cops or where it cups and where it will pull up. And that's how you use your wood. You want it straight, you want it true, and you want it good. When we use the term go against the grain, we're actually talking about two very important things. In order to get the best fit and finish from our lumber, we must go with the grain. To go against the grain is to work against the natural properties that have been placed within that grain. In order for the lumber to maintain its strength and dexterity, the grain is where the strength is. That is why it is important as a carpenter and also as a Christian that we do not go against the grain. This morning, I want to go back to the old book. I want to go back to the very beginning. That means Genesis, because Genesis means in the beginning. And I want to look at the pattern of God. God is a pattern God. God does everything according to a pattern, and God does nothing without a pattern. Genesis chapter 1. Let me begin reading with verse number 27. If you've got your copy of the Bible, go ahead and open up to Genesis 1 and verse number 27. And for the most part, we're going to stay right here in this verse as we talk about going against the grain. Verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And then God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now God's pattern, or God's grain, begins with the very image of God. When God makes man, he makes him in his own image. When we look at God, we see them as being threefold. We see God the Father, God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. But God's pattern for man is multipersonal as well. First of all, there's the man or the father. There's the woman or the mother. And then there's the child, the fruit, their multiplying process. The man is the help, and the woman is the helper that is suitable for him. The names that God gives man and he gives woman are important names. Everything God does it for a very important purpose. The purpose is to determine and depict the roles in the family. God works inside his name, and God states the name, and that states the game. In 1 Corinthians, Genesis 2, God is going to say this. And Jehovah God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Many of us look at Genesis 1, 24 and 6, and we see that God created man in his image, after his likeness, but we fail to realize the complementary process, because man is wonderfully and marvelously made. He is an intriguing individual. And so God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. I hear preachers say all the time, man is of the dust, and he will return to the dust. And at funerals, they will go ashes to ashes and dust to dust. But what God has given, he will require of us. Drop down. And Jehovah said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Important words from God. God never intended man to be just one. Mankind never intended for man to be alone. God intended for man to have a companion. He intended for man to have a helper that was suitable for him. What is that suitable for? Down to verse 23. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I like this part. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. In their natural state as husband and wife, as man and woman, there is no shame in that state. The third part of this thing is God creating man and creating him in his image and giving man a purpose, is that God said unto him, and this is where I want to reside most today, is he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The term be fruitful actually has several parts to it. We are late in the fall of the year. We're about to go into the winter months. Winter is the time when the earth prepares the ground. Spring is coming, and spring will bring forth from the ground. Summer is the time when fruit is yielded from the ground, and then fall is the time when the seeds fall back to the ground to begin that process all over again. When God looked at man, after having shown him all of the animals in the kingdom and allowing man to name those, and whatever he named them became the name thereof, then God put man to sleep and brought forth the woman, and then man would name her. He would say woman, because she is bone of my bone. She is flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. The purpose of man and of woman, some of us didn't get this in Genesis chapter 2, is God says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There's a lot of reasons why we would have a male and a female species of every being. It is that it may become, first of all, mature. In order to be fruitful, it must be a mature individual. And then it must multiply. Multiply is a process of bringing forth. And that seed, that natural seed brought forth, is found within the woman, fertilized by the DNA of the man, but found in the woman. And then he's going to say, I want you to master the earth. I want you to be aware, be informed about, be concerned with the birds of the air, with the fish of the sea, and with every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. God's natural state for man is for man to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. If you ever wonder why men are like men and women are like women, it's because God had a plan and a purpose for us, and the provisions that would provide for that purpose, or to make it perfect, would be the man and the woman. Or should I say, the differences between the man in the woman. Earth has three planes of existence. There is a land where the creeping things are. And then there is the sea where the swimming things are. And of course, we won't forget the air where the flying things are. But God tells man to have dominion over all of these. God is talking to man about his creation and about his design in nature and what he is to do. The purpose of our creation is to multiply and to replenish the earth. Now let's think for a moment. Every seed, every plant upon the earth has a seed within it. Self, and that seed is designed to be fruitful, to go back to the earth and to produce more of its kind. And we look at creation and we realize, wait a minute, this is a beautiful place here. All the trees grow and they fulfill all the earth. And we got the mountains here in Tennessee that look so good. And the grass is so beautiful. Everything is covered and everything is beautiful. And every year it comes back and it is more beautiful than it was the year before. And it grows bigger and stronger year by year. And it produces more fruit. And that fruit goes to the ground and produces more of its kind. God is a creating God that is constantly creating life through the life in which he gave. And therefore God gives man the command, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Someone once said, what makes man so fruitful? The woman. What makes the earth so full of people? the woman. Some have called her the mother of all living. The woman's purpose is to be a helper for man, doing that which man is unable to do alone, and that is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to replenish the earth. That's why God is so concerned with mankind going against the grain. Now, to go against the grain means to do that which is not productive, that which slows down the process, that which does not benefit from the process. In Leviticus chapter 18, one of the first things that God said to Israel was that thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. In Leviticus 20 and verse 13, he says, if a man also lie with mankind and lieth with a woman, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Paul throws in a little hint there, and he says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 26, for this cause God gave man over unto his vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of the woman, which is against nature, which goes against the grain. It will appear that man has been with man. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 19, the writer says, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Not only will man lie with men, or women will lie with women, there are those who are actually having that sacred union with other creatures, with other beasts. And God's punishment for that was to put them to death. Sometimes we wonder why we have so many diseases that we don't understand and we don't know where they come from. Maybe it's because of the things that we participate in, the things that we take part in. Someone may say this, well, you know, I kind of like men. I get along better with men. I work better with men. Well, you know, men can get together and play sports. Men can get together and go fishing or go hunting. Men can get together and build bridges and build fantastic roads and everything. All of that is work and cooperation together. But when it comes to procreation, when it comes to pleasing God, man is not to be with man. Man then goes against the grain for which he was created. Man goes against that in which God desired for him. In Genesis 2 and verse 24, God gives a pattern for creation. God gives a pattern for the man and the woman. And he says this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God has made it so clear. God gives us the directions and the instructions that we need. Let me give you, within the next couple of minutes, 3 points that I hope that we can understand. It will help us understand why God's command in Genesis 1 and verse 27 is so important. God said he created man and he made man different. He made them male and female in the beginning. And then he commanded them, go and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. First point, God determines man's classification. When you're born, I'm thankful that a midwife or a doctor nowadays will grab you up and look at you. And if they got to tap you on the bottom to get you to cry, the first thing he writes down is male child or female child. The classification is so simple because of the standard equipment that is placed within each one of them. But God made man for leadership. God gave man the first role of responsibility. And then God made the female, and he made the female suitable, a helper for the man. First Corinthians now, in chapter 11. Paul writes this: "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them unto you." Very important verse that we love, verse 3. "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Someone says this is the chain of command in the home and in the family, in the church and in the world. But God makes a determination. God makes a decision that in the earth there would be among all creatures a male and a female of that creature. The male will be strong, and he will have the responsibility of leadership and providing for the rest of the family. Why the rest of the family? Because the woman should be being fruitful and bearing, and that fruit should be young and need nurturing and caring. And so therefore the man is able to step outside of the home and to work and provide and bring back for the home, bring back for the family. God determined that. Verse 12, "For as the woman is of the man, even so the man is also by the woman. But all things are of God." Without the woman, well, let's back up. Without the man, there is no woman, because God took from her and created the man. But now without the woman, there is no man. And they all are because of God. God clearly defines or determines the classification and the qualifications for man. Secondly, God designed man as a separate being. Male and female, are they both? Now, sometimes when we look at man, we want to define him. Well, he's a white man, he's a black man, he's a red man, he's a brown man, he's a yellow man. You know how we do. But we don't do that when it comes to dogs or horses. There's a brown horse, there's a red horse. We just call them a horse. Why do we do it with man? I'm moving on. Male and female, husband and wife, help and helper. Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. Husbands, you are to provide for your family. "If any man provide not for his own, and especially not of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. The roles thicken." Ephesians chapter 5, we talked about this morning. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." I like what Paul told the church at Corinth, and instruction for men that men really need to understand. He says, "Watch ye," 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, "stand fast in the faith." Then he uses that unusual word. He says, "Quit ye like men, be strong." Paul, are you talking about men like to play all the time? You need to quit that? You know what they say about men, right? The difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Men like to play, but is Paul saying that we need to quit playing? That we need to watch? That we need to stand strong in the faith? And be strong and realize our role in the home, in the family, and even in the world. The roles are different. The requirements are different. The responsibilities are different. When it comes to the wife, Paul writes this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 in verse number 12. He says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to assert her authority over the man, but to be in silence." There is a role separation and distinction when it comes to worship and the worship services, but you're not excluded. There are things that you can do. In Titus chapter 2 in verse 3, Paul says this, "Now aged women, you be in behavior that as becometh holiness. You be teachers of good things. Teach the young women to be chaste, to be keepers of their own home, lovers of their own husband." God has determined man's classification, and he has also determined man's calling or where his roles will place him. And then finally, God has determined, or God desires, that man be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. As a creating God, God wants us to create new life. You know, the greatest thing that a man can do? Get married and have a family. And God appreciates families being as big as they possibly can be. David said, "Boy, children are a blessing from the Lord. I wish that every man's quiver is full of them." To have children. God desires for us to be fruitful and to multiply, to create, to replenish the earth. Homosexuality, I mentioned earlier, goes against the grain. A man with a man, abomination, cannot be fruitful and multiply. Women with women, an abomination, cannot be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, we love it when men can get together and work together. We love it when women can get together and work together and teach and raise the children and be instructive and replenish the earth, but we want the two to get together, the man and the woman, for the purpose of marriage and multiplying and replenishing the earth. Anything else goes against the grain. In Genesis chapter 9, in verse number 7, God chooses cabbage twice. God repeats himself and he says this, "And you be ye fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundance in the earth and multiply therein." To go against the grain is to do something that has a dead end to it. Yeah, I know. Some say, well, you know, two men according to our law can get together and get married. Two women according to our laws not get together and get married. And then if they want children, they can adopt children. All they're doing is their messed up minds are going to mess up the mind of an innocent child. Do you know that men getting together and women getting together and nothing else in between, we'd all die out. We would cease to be. And the way the devil will have it to happen even faster is he would have these men getting together and these women getting together and they adopting children into that mess of sin. And then their minds are messed up. They are confused. They're tore up from the floor up. They don't know what they are. They don't know their role or their responsibility in life. And then life ceases to be as we know it. God's plan is the best plan. It's the right plan. Man and a woman, be husband and wife. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. If you're going to play the game, play the game fully. Don't, as the old folks used to say, have your cake and eat it too. No, you come together mutually through love and respect, not only for one another, but also for God and for God's plan. And then you bring forth fruit into this world. To go against the grain, my brothers and sisters, is to go against God's design. God's design is male and female. I see it in nature. I see it in plants. I see it in animals. I see it in birds in the air. I see it in fish in the sea. It's God's design. God's grain for growth, for strength, for maturity, and for replenishing that which is of the earth. When we go against the grain, we not only go against God's master design. Oh, we are wonderfully and marvelously made. And for the purpose for which we are designed, it's a wonderful design. Can I get an amen, men? To go against the grain is not only to go against God's design, but to go against God's designation. God designated you as the male, or God designated you as the female. God designated you as the hip, first line of responsibility, or the female, second line of responsibility, co-worker, co-helper, co-provider. To go against the grain not only goes against God's design and God's designation, but church, it goes against God's desire. Remember, story in the Old Testament, during the time of Abraham, there were two cities down in the valley, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we hear those names today. We think of the Rainbow Coalition of today. We think of the mindset of people today. Men chasing men. Women chasing women. Well, this was not God's desire. And God came to Abraham and told him, says, I'm going down there. I'm going to utterly destroy those people. Abraham is like some people today. Well, you know, they just like the rest of us. They okay. Will you spare them if I can find 50 good down there? And after a little hee-hawing back and forth together, and God knew it's not possible. When sin comes into a community and it covers the community, he went down there and all he found was Lot, his wife, and his three daughters, brought them out. And then where Sodom and Gomorrah was is nothing but a black spot in the road. God utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. At the times of this ignorance, God would wink. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. God created us, and we love all men, and God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But a sin, whether it is homosexuality or any of the other things that may go against the grain, need to repent and turn back to God. God created man to be a fruitful individual. And each day while you're being a fruitful husband and a fruitful wife, raising up children to be fruitful unto God, God desires us to be, well, to be fruitful as Christians as well. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Going against the grain. Whenever we know to do something, and we do it not, the Bible says that is sin. God has a second law of pardon for his people, that when we sin, we pray about that. James says, if there are any sick among you, the worst sickness of all is the sickness of sin. The church comes together and prays with you. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that in every family, no matter how small or large it may be, there's going to be someone that is going to have the mindset, I'm a man, I kind of like men better. I'm a woman, I kind of like women better. And they're going to be in your face with that proclamation, and you're going to have to accept it, you're going to have to go along with it, or you're going to have to reject it and let them know it's against the grain. It's against the word of God. It's against God's design. It's against God's destination. And it's against God's desire. Are you a child of God? I mean, have you heard the word? Do you believe it? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized in water for remission of sins? If not, why not? I don't know what Satan has thrown at us through our family, through the division between man and woman, and all the desires that go into place. I don't know how we're struggling with that. But as a church, we need to pray about that and do something about that before that out there comes and affects us in here.